Welcome back in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Well, we had a little time off, but now it's playoff time on the PGA Tour, and we are back. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, how was your time off?
It's good, but it's so good to hear the excitement in your voice to be back on the air. Great to have you back. It's been an interesting time in the game of golf, and now we're all set for the playoffs, and we're going to talk about how it all got set up at the Wyndham. But I think we had a lot of fun the next couple of weeks with the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to those. Lots of excitement, lots of big bucks at stake. On the menu this week, the U.S. Amateur. Greatest amateur tournament in the world, as far as I'm concerned. We're also going to chat about the Wyndham Championship. Kevin Kisner in a six-way playoff to capture the title. And on the U.S. Amateur Championship, it was quite a battle. Did you get to see any of that, Jay Bird?
I did not get to see the final. I was watching very closely throughout the week because there were three guys with local ties from St. Louis or the University of Missouri. Max Krekelmeyer got to the round of 16. Unfortunately, got knocked out there. He's a kid that went to Lafayette High School. But as you said, Bob, this is the ultimate test. And my goodness, I've told people this before. Now, granted, it was raining and it wasn't the nicest day, but Oakmont's the hardest SOB I've ever played. It can be mean if you're not on. It's a tremendous, when you look at those last couple of holes in Oakmont, it's a tremendous venue for match play. And during the championship, they announced the partnership basically between the United States Golf Association, Oakmont, and Marion to have a number of events there through 2050. So Oakmont, a historic place and a historic am, and the amateur champion now, of course, will more than likely get to play at Augusta. They always wait till the invitations come out, the British Open and the United States Open, and some other great benefits that come with being U.S. amateur champion.
And I know you're very modest about your golf ability, but at one point when you were a youngster and during your collegiate days, I know one of your dreams was maybe to get into the U.S. amateur, and you certainly had the talent. You know, the breaks would have had to go your way, but golly, you certainly were knocking on the door much more than just about anybody else I know.
Well, it's kind of the heartbreaker for me not qualifying for the U.S. amateur. My dad played in five and had a number of guys on the team at the University of South Carolina play. In fact, my freshman year, right before we started school, we had a freshman named Brett Quigley, who many people are familiar with. He was playing on an exemption in the U.S. amateur because he was the reigning junior amateur champion and just missed match play down in Florida. But, you know, it's so many great players have won the championship, from Arnold to Jack to Harvey Ward and on down the line. And in the recent couple of years, obviously Tiger with three in a row and some great champions that have won and hoisted that trophy. It's the significant amateur championship still today in the United States.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Jay. I think every talented youngster, you know, they get to high school and, you know, their early collegiate days, you know, it may be a big stretch to think they could win the U.S. amateur, but always the goal was to try and qualify to get to participate. I mean, many thousands of amateurs, great amateurs from all over the world try and qualify. So when we get it down to two guys like we did, boy, they're exceptional players.
Well, and they've had it's such a long week. And then coupled with the weather situation they had in the Pittsburgh area, Bob, with some starts and stops and guys having to finish matches the next day and then run back out, it can really be tough. And I heard Justin Leonard say, former U.S. amateur champion, on the broadcast, that really the thing that he would recommend to anybody is just prepare yourself for a long week. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs and a lot of twists and turns. But the player that can keep his cool and stay focused usually has a chance to advance.
Yeah, much more marathon than a sprint ever. All right, let's move on to the Wyndham Championship. the final event before the FedEx Cup playoffs begin, and we got to determine the top 125 to qualify. And guess what? My man, Kevin Kisner, I know you're smiling, Jay. He wins in a six-way playoff. Can you believe he had been in five previous playoffs and didn't win one? But, boy, he had what it actually takes this time. Matter of fact, let's hear from Kevin Kisner. He talks about his win and maybe his Ryder Cup chances.
You know, every time you win out here, it's hard, and you never know when it's going to happen again. So you got to cherish every time. This year has been somewhat of a struggle for me. I kind of started the year with a playoff loss and then struggled throughout the spring and started to find some form here late in the summer and rounding into form going into playoffs. So to cap off the season with a win and head to the FedEx Cup playoffs, moving up the list and having a chance to win the FedEx Cup championship is just an awesome week. I've never been picked before, so I'm not going to go out there and jump on a limb and say that I'm going to get picked this year. I love Stricker. He's a great friend and great guy, and he'll do what's best for the team and the country. I would love more than anything to represent our country and be a part of that team. I need to go play well in these playoffs and continue to show great form. I love team sports, so anytime you can watch a team sport in golf, it's awesome. I love being a part of a team and trying to pull for other people. We don't ever get to pull for anyone else in this sport, so that's the only chance we have, and hopefully I'll get that chance.
Well, Jay, let me ask you your opinion. Do you think he's done enough to get on that Ryder Cup team?
Well, I think he's darn close. I think he's got a huge shot. I think when you look at his match play record and the match play event that they have, which has to be somewhat of a barometer, I think his passion for what he's doing and the pride of Aiken, South Carolina, wants to play for the U.S. And I think a lot, there's going to be a lot of these playoff events that Stricker's going to have to take a look at. You know, Kisner also got a gigantic benefit of having Adam Scott have to wait for five guys to make par and then miss a 4.5-footer that would have given him the victory, and it gave everybody new life. Kisner hit a good drive and a beautiful second shot, and unlike his predecessor Adam Scott on the first playoff hole, Kis put it away, and he and your man Dwayne Bach got to hoist the trophy and FedEx Cup points and really give himself a huge chance to be in Kohler, Wisconsin with the U.S. team.
Well, I've been close friends with Adam Scott for a long time. I, for one, was really surprised and maybe even a little disappointed. You alluded to the long wait he had to wait before he had that golden opportunity to make birdie. After standing there that long on his way to where his ball was, he pulls out that book and takes another look. Golly, Adam, you had been there 10 minutes or more. You don't need the book to tell you how to knock in a 4-footer, and he doesn't do it. And my heart goes out to Adam Scott because, as you know, Jay, as good an ambassador for this sport as we have. All right, let's move on to that first playoff event. It's called the Northern Trust. It's at Liberty National Golf Club. All the top players are going to be there. Some big names, including one of your favorites.
John Rahm will be there, and you got to think he's got a huge opportunity as it relates to the FedEx Cup. Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa. I mean, everybody is there except Louis Oosthuizen. Little surprising, but Louis's not playing. Now that we're down to three events, Tiger used to sometimes not play the first event, or a guy might take off one event. It's tough now with just the three events, and the points really loaded in those three events, Bob. So the only guy not playing, Oosthuizen, but boy, you've got some big talent. And as you said, some giant money at stake. I had forgotten Colin Morikawa's already gotten a $2 million bonus by being number one at the end of the season. Hey, Colin, here's $2 million. Just in case you didn't remember, we pay off at the end of the year before the playoffs. So, there's a ton of dough out there and a ton of prestige. So should be some great golf. And Liberty National is a venue they've been going to right there in the heart of the New York metropolitan area. It should be a great tournament.
You know how it goes down to the wire? Justin Rose makes a bogey on his 72nd hole, and he gets eliminated from the playoffs. Chasen Hadley got in, But he actually needed a hole in one, the first he ever made, to propel him over the line. So Justin Rose, maybe that's going to fire him up a little bit more for that Ryder Cup coming up in a little while at Whistling Straits.
Well, Bob loves to talk about him often. The biggest calves on the PGA Tour are not on a player. They're on a caddy, and he is one of the best. Bob's buddy, Dwayne Bach, and Bob got to catch up with Dwayne after the victory with Kevin Kister.
Well, fresh off a very exciting victory on the PGA Tour last weekend, the Wyndham Championship went down to a six-man playoff. One of those players was Kevin Kisner, and his caddy now joins us on the line. We welcome to Dwayne Bach in the grill room. And Dwayne, what did it feel like being involved in a six-man sudden death playoff?
Oh, well, hey Bob, good to talk to you. Yeah, it was. To be honest, it was kind of chaotic a little bit. It was one of those deals where. You know, six guys, I guess that ties a record for the PGA Tour as far as the most people in a playoff. But when we were in the scoring is that they may go in two groups. But when we got to the 10th tee, they decided that we're going to go in one group. And so it was six guys. And to be honest with you, when everybody teed off that first hole and we were all marching off the tee, I kind of looked around and I felt like we were doing like an exhibition for a pro-am or something. It really didn't really have that intense head-to-head battle that a playoff usually has. And then trying to find out, you know, where everybody was, who's away. And then with the ball marks on the putting green, you know, you're tiptoeing around the putting greens up on the 18th green to read putts and stuff. So it was a little chaotic, but hey, we were able to pull it off. So for us, it was, I guess, what we needed instead of having that head-to-head type of playoff that he was 0-5 in. We needed a bunch of guys in there to finally pull that first playoff win out.
Dwayne, let me ask you, from the perspective of a caddy, watching it on TV, Adam Scott on that first playoff hole hit a pretty remarkable shot, looked to me right around 4 feet, maybe 5 feet on the outside. And he had a long wait as everybody else had to putt. And then when it became his turn, I was almost shocked to see him at that juncture pull out his greens book as he was walking to his ball. And I said to myself, golly, he's been on that green that long, and I'm talking, you know, 10 minutes probably. Wouldn't he have made up his mind prior to having to pull the trigger? Did you see that? And were you surprised that Adam Scott, a savvy veteran, would do something like that?
Yes, it was very surprising. You know, Kevin, for us, Kevin chipped it up there to just a couple of inches, almost hold his chip shot and tapped it in. So we were first in, and then we went over to the side and had to wait. And the more we waited, Kevin started putting his stuff away into the golf bag, just kind of already expecting Adam to make it. And I told Kevin, I said, hey, I said, you know, he's never had to wait this long to make a putt. So especially a win. So, you know, I had that in the back of my mind, but Siwoo Kim, the thing that shocked me was that the Siwoo Kim, his par putt was pretty much on the same line as Adam's, and Siwoo put it right in and, came over to his caddy, Brian, and they chatted. And so my eye was kind of on them. And they looked back over to watch Adam, and Adam pulled out that book, and Brian kind of looked over at his caddy and had this surprised look on his face. And then I realized, oh my gosh, you know, he's been standing here for 10 minutes. But I don't know if it's part of his routine. Is that the routine? And he didn't want to get out of that routine. I don't know, but yeah, it was a putt that he should have. You know, he should have made, but winning is hard. It doesn't matter that he already had 14 wins or 15 wins and, you know, whatever he has. I mean, it's winning is hard, and you know, You hate it for him, but we were happy. You know, we were on the other side of it. So, but yes, it was a huge surprise that he was not, after all that time, he was not ready to just to stand in there and make that putt.
We're chatting with Dwayne Bach, longtime caddy for Kevin Kisner. All right, all six players make par on the first playoff hole. Now you go to play the same hole again, and I don't think the light ever shined any brighter on the ability of your man Kiz, as you affectionately call him, Kevin Kisner. His drive was absolutely incredible. His approach shot was right on the money and basically a kick-in to win the event. Wasn't that Kevin Kisner at his best on that second playoff hole?
100%. Yeah, you know, Kevin, throughout his career, I mean, if you look at, you know, his record in match play and everything, Kevin loves to be in the moment. He loves to know exactly what he needs to do. And for us, at that time, you know, even coming down the stretch, the birdie on 16, to get him one back, you know, he looked up at the board and we kind of thought maybe in regulation that, you know, we kind of wouldn't have a chance to win. But when you look up on the board on 16 and he sees that he's, hey man, I'm only one down and I'm only one back and I still have a chance to win this thing. You know, that's kind of, you can kind of see that change in him and birdied 16 and 17 to get in that playoff and 18 the second time around. It was, we talked about, you know, he loves to hit a low kind of draw drive off that tee and he pulled it off perfect. It chased on down there and we were the last one to hit into the green and it was just a perfect number to a left pin because he loves to hit a nice little draw and it was just a perfect 8-iron and he pulled it off. And you know, when Kevin has that confidence without any doubt, he's really hard to beat and he showed what he can do when the pressure's on and because he just loves that situation. And you know, golf is not all the time are you going to have the perfect number and things like that. But for that second time around on that playoff hole, he had the perfect number and it was a green light pin for him and he took advantage of it.
Well, I know your time's precious. Just want to bring up one thing. You alluded to it, Dwayne. Sometimes you play around the golf and it just seems to go your way. It's either a perfect 8-iron or a perfect 5-iron. And then the other days you play, it's between a 5 and a 6. It's between a 7 and an 8. When you get those days when it's not perfect yardage, it's probably, I'm saying, having never been under the fire that you're under out there, although I was under considerable heat every time I played against your dad because it seemed like I worked to make money so that Dwayne's dad, Dave, could take my money on the golf course. But when you get that perfect yardage, Dwayne, it's really a good feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It doesn't happen often. And that's why, you know, when it does happen, you just kind of have to lick your chops and go with it. Yeah, the game of golf. People ask me all the time about, you know, lasers and things like that. You know, when's the tour going to start using lasers? And I tell people that, you know, we very rarely even play to the pin because we never have that perfect number. We're always playing bounces and even slopes on greens. And you got to be able, okay, it's not a perfect number. Well, can we use the slope behind it? Or, you know, is the ball going to kick forward? How much is it bouncing on the green and stuff like that? Because very rarely do you have that perfect number. And when you do have that perfect number, it's you got to take advantage of it, but it doesn't happen often for sure.
We're talking with Dwayne Bach. Anybody doubts this gentleman's ability to play the game? Winner of the North-South Amateur at Pinehurst, probably the second biggest amateur event in the United States. Now a longtime caddy for Kevin Kisner. A lot of friends of Kiz and a lot of other people, you know, with the Ryder Cup coming up, Dwayne, I know Kevin Kisner would love to be on that team. I know he's pretty good friends with Steve Stricker. I'm guessing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, one more victory in the playoffs, I think, would be an automatic spot. Without that victory, I still think Kevin Kisner is somebody that Steve Stricker has to take a long, hard look at.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. You know, I think this win definitely puts him back in the mix. You know, his record speaks for himself. And for Kevin and myself, people ask me all the time, you know, Caddy, and, you know, tell me about some cool experiences. And yeah, of course, Augusta is cool. You know, that 16th hole in Phoenix and Scottsdale is cool. And, you know, all that stuff is really awesome. But, you know, the coolest experience for me as a caddy was, the 2017 President's Cup when, which was our only time that we were able to make, one of those teams. And for Kevin, you know, I'll never forget Kevin afterwards told me, he said, that's our goal every year is to make one of these teams. And, he's been in conversation over the last number of years since 2017. He went undefeated in 2017. And so his name is always in conversation. But unfortunately, you have to rely on a pick, you never know what's going to happen. And we haven't earned it yet. But yes, I agree with you. And another win, I think we'll definitely get them in there. But we have to take care of business these next 2 weeks. And, I know it's something that he wants very badly. And, it's a goal of his to start every year. So, and if it doesn't happen this year, the goal for next year will be, the President's Cup. I believe it's at, Quail Hollow in Charlotte. So, it's something that he looks forward to and just would love the opportunity to represent the country and play for his country and be on that Ryder Cup team. But we definitely have to take care of some business here these next 2 weeks.
And your daughter has to take care of some business, just starting her golf career at Belmont Abbey. Dwayne, I know you're excited about that. Congratulations on that win, the Wyndham Championship. And as always, we appreciate your time right here in the grill room with Bob and Jay. Hey, thanks, Dwayne. You're a real superstar in my book.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And when I do get to talk to you, means we're having some success. So thanks again for having me. And call me anytime. Love to talk to you.
Well, great stuff with Dwayne Bach. Bob, one of the real characters, one of the good guys, and back in the day, the man who could flat-out play.
Yeah, he really could. I mean, he's a caddy now, but he was good enough to win the North-South Amateur at Pinehurst. You don't, you know, that event is not a heck of a lot below a U.S. Amateur title.
No, that is big stuff, and we'll see how Dwayne and kids do as they start the playoffs this week at the Northern Trust. And the quest is on for the big prize and the big dough on both the regular tour and the Champions Tour. And we'll update everybody on it next week, Bob.
Looking forward to it, Jay. Good to be back on the air with Jay Randolph Jr. And thank each and every one of you for being part of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.